This might be the most polarizing topic that really exists in sports. And I do actually seriously mean that, as we are going to debate the Baseball Hall of Fame, as that is coming up. And we now have potentially the most polarizing and controversial year of this ballot ever, because we have the final year of eligibility for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. After this, they're going to have to try their hand with former players and all of that in that different committee, which could have a whole other debate whether that'll be good or not. I am Mike Oste. I will be joined by here Cody Potenko here of Pittsburgh Baseball Now. And we're going to kind of marry his podcast on Baseball Now and Mic Drop and everything else we put together here on Pittsburgh Sports Live to do a video and audio podcast for you to talk about what we think is going to happen and what we think should happen, because those are often two very different things, and dive fully into what the baseball writers are going to do and what impact that may have. Because if it goes one way, we could have three or four different debates on how that ceremony will even take place, because all of that will be a major question mark. So I am going to toss the mic over to Cody and let him host the rest of this. This is just, it's almost an early birthday present to me, honestly, as this actual announcement will come a day before my birthday. So I just love this. I'm definitely a Baseball Hall of Fame nerd. I cannot deny that. So I'm happy to do this and be able to talk about this and see where this goes. And we honestly could recap it as well. This is before the announcement, of course. So Cody, I don't know if you're as excited as I am, because maybe this is a bit weird to be this excited about this, but this is really a year to have they're even more focused than normal. This is it. This is the last year eligibility for those two. And of course, there are others that could get in the Hall of Fame right now. We already seen early ballots with David Ortiz getting all these votes, and there's some hypocrisy that's involved in all of this as well. And we've even had a year where nobody got in. So if Scott Rolen doesn't get a bump and everyone who has a steroid allegation somehow drops enough, we could have a weirdness of nobody getting in. That actually has happened in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm as excited as you, because you seem extremely, extremely excited for this. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, factors that go into this, man. You know, ESPN dropping that documentary on Barry Bonds after the Gold Glove ceremony, I don't know if it's their push to get Barry into the Hall of Fame or not, because we know he's an extremely polarizing figure.
Sure.
But it definitely is something that people
the 30
have been
for 30
talking.
On the 98 season was recent as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely getting people talking, and I think that's what ESPN ultimately wanted and
sure.
What the baseball world wants. Whether or not Barry gets in, I don't think it takes away from the accolades that he actually achieved.
Right.
But it would be a nice cherry on top of everything just to have him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, if everyone's read the story I've written recently on Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame, I wrote an opinion piece for Pittsburgh Baseball Now stating, yep, just let the man in, let him in. And I'm kind of at the point to where, and we talked about this off air, Mike, it's all or nothing. Let all the steroid era guys that are on the ballot in or not. Yeah. There's no in between. You can't pick or choose, because ultimately this comes down to, I know there's that character clause in there, and I think that's a little bit of BS in my
That is
opinion.
A difference, though, of the other Hall of Fames, because that does get brought up. But there is they do have a characters clause. The other Hall of Fames do not. So
yeah,
if you're actually going to follow the entire script that is presented, and some of our colleagues who have votes have actually showed this, you are supposed to follow the characters clause.
Yeah.
So that does exist.
It does exist. You're absolutely right. But there are a ton of guys in the Hall of Fame that we can talk about that wouldn't necessarily meet the good guy clause.
Right. It is not the Hall of Good Guys.
And you know, I wrote about that. I said, this isn't a Hall of Fame for Saints. This is a Hall of Fame for baseball. This is right. On the field product. It should be. It absolutely should be. And when you talk about Barry Bonds, maybe I should rephrase this. You can't mention Major League Baseball without mentioning Barry Lamar Bonds. You just can't. The guy did incredible things. And I know steroids were involved, but it was the steroid era. So a lot of guys were taking steroids. So why didn't they put up the same numbers Barry did? it, you know, that that's where things come into play. And I know there are other guys like Clemens that are on the ballot, Sammy Sosa, but let's be real, man. This is all about Barry Bonds when it comes down to it. It's his last year to get in. And is he going to get in?
Right.
And I kind of wanted, you know, your opinion on that, man.
It, yeah.
Does Barry get in for you? And do you want Barry in?
Okay. I don't think Barry gets in. But it is much more touch and go this year than it would even have been last year. And they started late 30s in terms of percentages, Barry and Clemens. And I guess the only thing that I would debate with you a little bit is this is mostly about Barry. He's a position player, played every day. But him and Clemens are also hand in hand. I don't think it would be reasonable, and I don't think we're going to see a scenario where Barry gets in and Clemens does not. They are different by about a percentage and a half. So it's not a 0% chance that could occur. Barry is bumped ahead of Clemens in that.
Yeah.
If they drop 4 or 5% from what normally occurs when you see the public balloting versus the actual end result, that could actually, and I thought about this before we started doing the show, what a wild scenario would that be if Barry gets in and Clemens does not? Because Clemens would get there on, they're both in the same situation of last year eligibility. Clemens would then be dealing with the Veterans Committee, et cetera. That would be a bit crazy because he's basically the pitcher counterpart to what Barry is as a position player. But in all reality, this is about the two of them. They are certainly a cut above the rest of all the players with that steroid cloud. I don't think they're going to get in, though, because, and this happens every year, you can see all these articles. And if you search, if you do a Google search, and you know, I was trying to help your analytics there, Pittsburgh Baseball Now, get yours up there as well. But you, it's the way people headline things where you see, okay, Barry and Clemens are leaning towards, or they're leading the charge to get in the Hall of Fame now. And you see another one with the exact same factual data. And this is not an opinion if they should get in. These are articles about if they think they're going to get in, where it leans towards, well, they're going to, Barry and Clemens, well, they're going to just be shy, or it's their last year, their last go of it, those type of headlines. You have to also look at what's going to happen with, in all reality, the ballots that are not yet released, that we don't know as we're recording this right now, are over 50% of the ballots.
Yeah.
It's still the majority of the ballots we don't know at this time. We do know more of them than we normally know. And in the last 3 or 4 years, we've known more than what we normally have known prior to that. A lot of people are willing now to put their votes out there. But again, the majority are still not putting their votes out there. And we've seen some funky things. We've seen Dan Le Batard try to sell his vote to Deadspin and then lose his vote. We've seen three human beings not vote for Ken Griffey Jr. And then they had to legitimize that lack of vote by actually saying that they knew he was going to get in and they didn't want to waste a vote on him because they had others who, like Bonds, Clemens, maybe these steroid players, they had to give votes to. So it ends up in this entire almost mental gymnastics on who you're going to vote, when you're going to give them a vote, how many votes you're going to give them. We've seen colleagues say, well, I don't want to vote for a steroid player their first ballot, but maybe I'll give it to the sixth ballot for A-Rod and the eighth ballot for this guy. It's like a mind-blowing scenario trying to get your mind wrapped around all this mental gymnastics here. I do think they're going to fall short and just shy. I will say, though, Cody, I think they're going to get in the Veterans Committee. I think there was more former player respect than obviously the voters, because a lot of the ones that have released their vote, a lot of what we know, and I believe right now, before the announcement, I think we have about 44% of the vote that we know, and Bonds and Clemens are around 78 to 77%, which would get them in, and that's better than they were last year, but it's barely. You're going to drop. The votes that we don't know now are very likely the older voters who don't want to release those ballots, who send them in way late because they intentionally want to screw over the apple cart here. The people that have put their votes in, the majority of them might be younger, or they're doing the thing which we have seen now, which is bumped Bonds over 75, where they intentionally were making these guys wait to basically embarrass them and send a message, but now would put them in now because it's the last year of eligibility. And they also feel like the Veterans Committee would put them in. So all of that exists, but I do think there's just normally with a player like a Scott Rolen, 70% last year. Okay. We've seen so many votes now, but normally you get a bump when you get more ballots released. Normally players that are close get a bump. With these steroid players, we've seen Bonds and Clemens, drop in percentage once you get the remaining the remaining ballots released. So I have no reason to believe they would not drop in percentage again. And unfortunately for them, there is no wiggle room. If you drop in, if you drop 3%, you're at 75. If you drop 4%, you're below it if you're Bonds. And if you drop 3% for Clemens, you're now below 75. Yeah. So, and they're not, as you know, they're not bumping anything. If the, if this man finishes at 74.7, he's not getting in.
So, there's no rounds ups.
There's no rounding up. There's no, you know, there's no last year, we'll give you a bump here. So I don't think they're going to get in terms of should they get in. I do think they should get in at this point. I will say that I'm, and I told you this as well, I am an all or nothing guy. So my annoyance is we are leaning to where Bonds and Clemens are in all reality. The only people of this steroid conversation, certainly for this year, that even have a chance to get in outside of maybe David Ortiz, which is a conversation we'll get to here in a moment. But the Sammy Sosa's, the Mark McGuire's, the Manny Ramirez's, the Rafael Palmeiro's, there's no shot. And they're likely never going to get in. We'll see what happens in the veteran committee. For me, that still lends there to be hypocrisy. I totally, there's no one out there, I don't think even the staunchest critic of Bonds is going to say that Sammy Sosa could even, you know, come close to him. Obviously, what Bonds did is well higher than Sosa. But if you look at resumes, Sammy Sosa did something that Bonds never did. Sammy Sosa has three career 60 home run seasons. Bonds, who has the single season record, has one. He only hit 49 the year before, which is his second highest total of his whole career, which does go to the argument that steroids helped enhance him to get those records. You look at Rafael Palmeiro, that's pure consistent play at first base, 500 homers, 3,000 hits. These are old school benchmarks that if there was no cloud, it'd be slam dunk first ballot. He would have been in years ago. He basically was a more consistent, better defensive Jim Thome-like kind of player. So Manny Ramirez, 500 homers, all the hits. He was World Series MVP, not David Ortiz when they broke the curse. He has multiple rings as well. You could argue, despite Manny being Manny, he at least was trying to play defense. David Ortiz is the DH. So you could certainly argue that Manny was the best player on those Red Sox teams as a position player, not David Ortiz. And Manny also arguably might have been the best overall player when he was young on the Cleveland teams that won two pennants with Thome prior to that. And he's not getting votes.
It's arguable.
And then you look at A-Rod, he's getting 40-some percent. So maybe that's better than when Bonds was first on the ballot. David Ortiz getting over 80 right now. Probably going to get in because even if you drop, I don't think you'll drop that far to be below 75. Now, while that's hypocritical, you know, his resume says it. For me, I wouldn't mind these guys getting in because it is a museum. It is a Hall of Fame. You do want to tell the story. You can't tell the story without them. I will say, for anyone who's not been there, they do have artifacts of Bonds. Like, it is a museum, but there's a level that just talks about records and things like that. So it's not like, even if Bonds would never get in as a player with a plaque, he is in there. His bat is in there. They have gloves from these guys. They do have jerseys and things in there. They also do have, behind the glass, there's kind of a little area cast to the side that is called the steroid era. They do have that in there. They do have magazine covers from 98. They do have those things in there. So there is some representation, but I also, I'm an all or nothing guy. And what I would do though, I would do this. And I know Barry Bonds wouldn't want this. And I know that this would cause some awkwardness on the stage because they do make this more of a parade than maybe even other Hall of Fames. Yeah. I would want him in, but I would not want to cloud over, for lack of a better pun here, based on this conversation, the story of Barry Bonds. Because for me, he's one of the greatest players of all time. You certainly could argue the greatest ever. That would have been the case regardless of any suspected steroid use. However, I'm also not naive to the fact that I don't think he would have set the single season or all-time home run record if nothing was going on. He gained 100 pounds of muscle. He never had those single season numbers prior. A lot of home runs with Pittsburgh was 35, 42, and then all of a sudden we're seeing 73. That's not a normal bump off of, you know, that's not velocity. No. There's no analytics that are going to bump you 40 home runs. So that's
or little, hat sizes or hat right, sizes. Or hat size. Hat
unless,
size.
Unless he had the disease of Andre the Giant, you shouldn't be gaining your hat size in that level. So I do think it certainly helped him. It is unfortunate that if he never did any of that, he probably would have finished still with 600 plus. We would be, you know, he'd be celebrated maybe as the best ever. So I would put it on the plaque. I would have no problem, and I would be fair to Bonds. I wouldn't say proven. You know, you would do the whole thing of 86 to 92 National League Pittsburgh, 93 to 2007 National League San Francisco, great all-around player, two MVPs with the Pirates, the 40-40 season, all of that. Became an even greater legend, more of a power slugger, single season all-time, seven MVPs, mention all of it on the plaque, and then I would have no problem with mentioning on there. But there is a wide suspicion between this chunk of time. It may have been enhanced by steroids. It is corroborated by his trainer serving time in prison off of this. And there is an HGH test that he tested positive for in 03, which was prior to the actual testing of Major League Baseball, never by steroids. And you could even add on, because this is a long plaque, but his defenders dispute this because he never served a suspension and never was proven. I want it all on there to tell the true story, but I do want them in.
I think the only thing I'd add to that plaque is Sid Bream was out. I don't care what anyone says.
Right. Yeah. Bonds would also really probably hate that being on there even more than the steroid conversation.
Probably.
Maybe we'll get that jet to fly over. Maybe somebody will do that who used to fly over PNC Park when he would come back. Maybe someone will fly over there with Sid with a nice throw, Barry.
Little banner. Yeah. But no, I kind of want to turn the conversation a little more towards, you know, we talked about the hypocrisy involved, particularly with David Ortiz. As we all know, David Ortiz, very likable player in the media and with the fans.
Sure. Sure.
So, you know, his antics and the way he talked, and there was something about David Ortiz that you kind of gravitated towards. Now, you look at guys like Barry, who were kind of, I guess you could say, arrogant, whatever word you want to use for Barry.
Yeah.
On the bad side, it was probably true. So when you see guys like David Ortiz getting all these votes as of now, what is he at, 80%, maybe a little higher?
I believe 83 at the 44% of votes that we know now. So Barry's at 78 at last year. David Ortiz's first year of eligibility is at 83. And in contrast, A-Rod, mm-hmm. a better overall player, hands down, 40, yes. I think 1 or 2%. So David Ortiz is doubling his percent total.
Yeah.
Also in media too.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no argument with there. Yeah. So, you know, when you talk about guys like David Ortiz, who have been suspected of steroids, has been suspended, things of that sort. And Barry, who's never been suspended, nothing right. like that, just kind of an asshole.
Pretty much
not
yeah,
getting
yeah.
the same.
Yeah.
Who's not getting the same recognition. So is it this character clause in quotes that everyone's using to just keep Barry out? Or do you think there's some sort of underlying factor with all of this?
Well, I don't think anyone can be naive. And this goes even beyond just the Baseball Hall of Fame, which clearly is the most polarizing debate what we're talking about here. And I think has become the greatest mess of all the major Hall of Fames to this point. But it's not just Agreed. A Baseball Hall of Fame issue. These are human beings. Personal opinions are there. Terrell Owens had to wait 3 years. He's basically the Barry Bonds of receivers. Look at those numbers. It's top three in every category. He didn't even have any steroid suspicion. There's no legal resume to look up. Barry Bonds was accused of domestic violence at one point. That's character clause. Character clause doesn't exist in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There's no domestic violence accusation. There's no steroid accusation. There's nothing. There's not even an accusation that he cheated on his girlfriend at the time from T.O. It's almost a miracle he doesn't have any of this. None of that exists for T.O. What exists, he's not nice. He did sit-ups in his driveway. Some teammates didn't like him. He maybe was locker room cancer at times. You look at the numbers, and they made him wait 3 years. And he was so aggravated that he had his own ceremony somewhere else other than
Chattanooga.
in Chattanooga to celebrate it. And he is still talking about it. If you actually listen to his podcast, he is not over it at all. But Cody, here's the hypocrisy of that. And this is what really got in his craw. And I actually know this because he listened to a podcast of mine and then we DM'd about it. Randy Moss, who obviously a Hall of Famer, legendary, revolutionary player. He has a personal life that there is a whole scandal going back to his upbringing in West Virginia. He admitted that he took plays off with the Raiders where he intentionally didn't care because they were so bad. He's had his own issues. He's mooning fans, metaphorically speaking. First ballot Hall of Famer. Why is that? Probably to what you said. Randy's on ESPN every Sunday doing impressions, cracking jokes. Everyone loves him. And there have been rumors that T.O. has basically uncovered that said that he believed Teddy Bruschi and others who were colleagues basically called some of the voters and said, let's get Randy first ballot. Nobody's helping T.O. out because they hate him for whatever reason. He's polarized. They don't like him. He had to wait three. Randy Moss gets in on the first. That makes no sense. If you would have made Randy wait 3 years like T.O., I at least understand. But to get at him in right away, I'm confused. So, yeah, there's hypocrisy there. There's personal feelings there. You even look at somebody who is not necessarily involved in the steroid cloud, but has kind of been grouped into them based on comments he said and kind of his personal life being well-tainted, and that's Curt Schilling. He actually, unlike Barry and Clements, who are getting more percentage before we actually get to the full release, they're actually growing in percentage in their final year. Curt Schilling is significantly dropping in votes. I believe he's 10% less than where he even was at this point before. And last year, he was very close to getting in, which you would figure would eventually get him in because he has more than 1 or 2 years left. But he last year came out in the midst of everything else that he said in the world and said he wants off the ballot. He doesn't want to go in. So now there have been some voters that have come out publicly and said that because of that, they voted for him before, but now they're not going to vote for him. And they didn't vote for him because if you don't want in my club, I'm not going to put you there. So now he's losing votes. What he did on the field has not changed at all. All that's happened is he's made some comments. He's wearing a T-shirt. He's voting one way politically, but yet he's losing votes. He's gaining votes. That doesn't make sense. And then, of course, Alex Rodriguez. Yes, he was suspended. He lost a year and a half. But if you add that year and a half back in, he might have put Barry Bonds on notice for the all-time home run record. I mean, he was getting a chance at that for a while. Finishes at 696. I think it's pretty clear he would have got over 700, certainly, if he didn't miss that time. He, at the time, was very, very vehemently arguing. He actually went on numerous shows there in New York that, hey, I did steroids with Texas, but I didn't do steroids here, like, which is the craziest thing. So he got his MVPs with Texas, where he admitted steroid use eventually after lying. And then he claims he didn't do them there, but he served a suspension and he did have the positive test. So he's at 40 some percent. But David Ortiz, who, let's face it, a skinny guy in the Twins organization that couldn't do anything with his glove, that was randomly trying to make a team, all of a sudden becomes this phenom, this postseason hero who is that fun-loving Big Poppy guy. Your nickname is Big Poppy. He's on TV, national TV, as a broadcaster, as an analyst, and he can't really even speak clearly. It's because he's kind of this fun-loving guy, and that's fine, but that has to factor into these vote percentages, because if you're going to say that you don't want any steroid players in, I understand that. That can be your vote as a character's clause, but then it doesn't make sense to put David Ortiz in, because he's certainly been suspected. If you want to say that you only vote steroid players in on their final year of eligibility, because some have said that to make them wait and get them embarrassed, that's fine. But David Ortiz is on his first year of eligibility. And then if you want to vote David Ortiz, but you don't want to vote A-Rod, that makes no sense as well. Because as you know, A-Rod could legitimately argue a Hall of Famer on two positions. If he just played shortstop and cut it off then, he's one of the best ever. Third base, what he did there, one of the best ever, has the 40-42, did it when he was skinny. Overall player, there's no way to argue David Ortiz is better than A-Rod. They both have steroid clouds all over them. Yeah. 80-some percent versus 40-some first year for both. I just don't get it unless it's off personality.
No, it's ridiculous, man. The whole character clause thing, I just keep coming back to because it's bullshit, man. It really is.
Yeah.
There's no need for it whatsoever. And you want to be different from the other leagues, yet you look at leagues like the NFL, the NBA, even the NHL, you could argue, are doing significantly better than Major League Baseball in terms of
better watchability. They have their issues, but better. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. NHL, maybe you could argue because that league is run.
That's very political. And, yeah. If you're from Canada, you're going to get some votes.
Yeah. But, you know, you take the two major sports, at least in NBA and the NFL, and they are light years ahead in terms of everything. But baseball stuck in the dark ages, it seems like. And there's no question as to why your fans are 40 plus years old and you're not getting new fans to come and watch the game, because you are still stuck in this old man rule stuff. Like, let the dudes in.
Yeah. Just
let them in and move on from this huge stain that you have on your league.
The cloud's never going to go away as long as you have those players on this ballot. And there's going to be several that are going to be there for a while. The whole song and dance with Barry and Clemens, we're going to be doing it for the next 9 years with A-Rod, clearly, because they're going to hold a lot more against him than David Ortiz, even though he's also in media and kind of trying to improve his image. I think he's become more likable after his career than when he was playing, honestly, just as a person. Yeah. But that hasn't seemingly helped him with votes. Who knows? He does have a better vote total than Barry Bonds did in his first year. That may be the only thing you could argue that might be positive for him. Bonds was in the late 30s, A-Rod's early 40s. You know, infield-wise versus overall player, they're kind of the same. So that maybe is something that could be a positive. The only thing I guess I'll ask you here as maybe a pushback to that, I guess what the old writers would say and what the Baseball Hall of Fame would probably say to you, certainly other Hall of Fames have maybe allowed more in, and they've been more willing to bend in recent years after having a logjam in the past that certainly existed in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The Basketball Hall of Fame has been mightily criticized with kind of being too lax, where basically if you made 10 All-Star appearances, regardless of anything else, you're getting in. And of course, these Hall of Fames, they're not all just about the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, which I think people don't get. Why that is because you have the Basketball Hall of Fame is not even just pro basketball. That goes to your success in college, international play, and the NBA. So that's why a guy like Carmelo Anthony is a slam dunk first ballot. Obviously top 10 all time in points, he'd be there anyway in the NBA, but
especially if he's wearing his hoodie.
Yeah. Especially if he's hoodie mellow, but you get that where the players are raving about him even maybe more than if he would get in, but it wouldn't be this love, because you go to the national championship at Syracuse, you go to 3 gold medals, that really beefs up the resume.
Yeah.
But you do have a lot of players like Dwight Howard's going to get in, and people have been hating on him for years. When you look at that resume, there were a lot of people that do believe the Basketball Hall of Fame, for example, lets too many people in. Even the Football Hall of Fame has become that now, where they're getting double classes. 5-6 guys are going in a year to get rid of log jams. The Hockey Hall of Fame still has their issues, but open it up a little bit. And I'm sure that they would say they want the Baseball Hall of Fame to be more selective and to be the most hallowed Hall of Fame. That's the phrase they use. And it's the hardest to get into.
Yeah.
So I mean, any thoughts on that? That they want it to be harder to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame than it is for the Basketball Hall of Fame or other Hall of Fames?
No, I get that point. And there is some merit to that thought. You know, you do want to be selective. You don't want to just choose a random guy who maybe had a good 2-3 year run. I get it.
Yeah. Like Harold Baines. That was the conversation when he eventually got in with the veterans community. Is that really a Hall of Fame career, or is that Hall of Very Good?
Yeah, Hall of Very Good, I would say, in my opinion.
But he's in the same hallway with Ty Cobb, Joe DiMaggio, Griffey.
Right.
I mean, he's in that same Mickey Mantle. He's in that same room. They don't do a ranking of an all-time rank in there. It's the same. It's maybe the same area.
They should do a show.
They
maybe on
should
that,
do that. Hall of Rankings. Yeah.
But no, you could even argue, you know, you want to be selective and you want to have the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame be the hardest to get into in all the major sports.
Right.
Well, then you can still say guys like Barry Bonds deserve to be in there. Sure. You know? Right. I keep harping on that because you can't mention baseball without Barry Bonds. It's impossible. And it's a story. You go through the Hall of Fame, I'm sure there are plenty of stories you read. And when you read, there's a chapter with Barry Bonds in it, Mark McGwire in it, and guys of that steroid era. You just can't do it, you know? And it seems so simple to say, but kind of you got to take the KISS method, man. Keep it simple, stupid, and quit going over all these.
Although they're doing it.
I mean, they almost
are getting it done. If he doesn't get on, they're if you look on montages when they do those images of these great players, and they have these images of a Willie Mays next to this outfielder, or a more calm, like next to Mike Trout, They don't put Barry Bonds in any of that. Almost like he is ignored, because they feel like he broke some records unjustly. And you look at MLB Network, you look at even go there. He has his bat there, but if you look at posters, they have posters. He's not in any of that. He is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I mean he's basically a black mark on everything that they're trying to move on, trying to get rid of his name completely. It feels like,
yeah.
And you know, whatever happens with the Veterans Committee, if he doesn't make it in, that's for another day, another topic. But it's his last year, man. He's suffered enough. Let the guy in. Like,
do you think he would handle it maturely? Do you think he'd go up on stage and be like, I should have been in earlier, screw you? Or do you think he's going to give a regular speech and we can have a regular weekend without police being needing to be there? Because there's also been some former Hall of Famer or some Hall of Famers that have been very vocal that he shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
Will they be able, can they coexist? Can Barry Bonds and Mike Smith, who has said they doesn't want to stay where players in, can they have a meal together? Because they're going to be asked to do so. I mean, how is this going to go, I guess?
I mean, you got to hire a pretty damn good PR team to figure out what to do there. You know, and that is a big part of everything. Can everyone coexist during the ceremonies? And if you're asking for my honest opinion, I think Barry Bonds will be the typical a-hole that he is when he gets on that stage. I don't think there's any question to that. I think he'll come out with the shades on and him looking rather skinnier than his playing
he
days.
He does look skinnier now,
In San
Right.
And I think he will say that I should have been in 5-6 years ago.
Right.
And that's that, and then you move on from that, man.
But, he's calling out some voters. Is he gonna be like Bob?
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll call out guys like Ron Cook and all the other guys around, right. You know?
Yeah.
It is what it is at this point. You know, whether he gets in or not, it is what it is. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's all based just on opinions.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just whose opinion that matters. And you look at voters who strictly just vote for one player, like we saw the Jeff Kent vote, what, for 3 straight years, just Jeff Kent? Or, you know, it's like leaving a penny tip to a waitress. It's a disband.
You're better not tipping or not voting at all, right?
Exactly. I don't know. What are your thoughts on things like that, man? When you got guys voting for just one specific player, kind of filling an agenda to get some clout. You know what I mean? That's what it seems like clout chasing to me.
It's either clout chasing or it's just being a jerk. I mean, really, it's either a personal vendetta, it's being a dick, or it's clout chasing, because there are some older voters that are keeping these guys out for the most part, that are not really active on Twitter, that just are sticking it to them. And I don't know if it's personal. I don't know if it's the character clause. I don't know if they believe maybe numbers were enhanced. And certainly some could argue that more than others. You know, bringing up Mark McGwire, a great player, an MVP type player early on. But there's absolutely an argument to be said that it was basically home run or strikeout. Didn't even have 2,000 career hits at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
So you could argue that steroids are more impactful for some than others. So maybe that's what's going on here with these differential of vote percentage. But I feel like there got to be something here to stop this from happening again. And we already got to the last year for Bonds and Clemens, so they've already been successful in this. You could even have a conspiracy theory, Cody, that if you recall, Once they both retired, which was oddly around the same time, they both got on the ballot. At that time is when they literally changed the dynamic, because it used to be you had 15 years to get these votes on the ballot. This is only their 9th. They've been on 9. This would be their 10th year right now. If they don't get it this year, they'd be off. They changed it from 15 to 10, basically like right away. They were like, we're going to, like, I'm surprised they didn't whittle down to 5. They tried to do whatever they could to make this harder to get in than humanly possible, basically. So that has to be part of this. But you should, I mean, some of the votes are so crazy, and obviously it's an opinion. So I guess it would be hard to say your opinion is wrong, so we're going to take your vote away, even though you worked in media for 50 years and did this, and this. Yeah, I guess ball of wax. Like, how would you run this? But I feel like if somebody is voting for Jeff Kent, who, you know, is a borderline guy, it's not like it's a loot. There's been worse votes out there. He did win an MVP as a teammate of Bonds and was an infielder. You look at his home run total as a second baseman. Not bad. I could maybe see a vote for him. But if you're just voting for him and nobody else, there got to be a way to lose your vote here. They just got to be. I mean, yeah. you got to be. You should also, I think, to fix this, you should have to be active in some capacity to keep these votes. There are people that have been retired for years. They're just voting. They're still chucking votes in and somehow keeping their press packs off. They cover one game a year and then allow to keep voting. Yeah. Obviously, that's a farce. So there got to be some limit. Maybe it even, you know, maybe it should even be like some feel for Congress where there should just be a max time period that, okay, you reach a level of media, you reach a level of this, you get a vote, but you have a vote for 20 years. After that, you no longer have a vote. We thank you for your service. You're just done voting. You're not insulting them. You just are done. You voted for a very long period of time. That's a cycle of a generation. You're likely 70 at that point. Go to the beach. Stop stressing about this. You're done voting.
It's an honorable discharge.
Right. Honorably discharge them from this duty of this mental mess that you're dealing with. And you figure Bonds and Glad will be over 10. You'd be done. You could screw them over all you want. It'd be a whole nother cycle. If that person got a vote today, they could get all these different generations in. So I think that maybe would fix it a little bit, is at least create a blocker and a maximum time served as a voter. Certainly far less time than what we're seeing now with the amount of years people are voting.
Are we going to see service time manipulation with voters too?
I'm sure we would probably see, there would be some manipulation of something. We would see something going on here. Somebody would be disputing these votes here. I'm sure Schilling is going to be one of those who would be disputing these votes here just as a guess. I'm sure he feels like these votes weren't exactly fair. Maybe some dead people were voting in his eyes.
Right.
I don't know. I guess there's really no way to fully fix this. And it might be telling with Bond and Clemens either out of them being in or just being off the ballot, because at this time next year, they're not going to be on this ballot. Whether they get in or they don't get in, they're off the ballot. They're going to be a whole nother mess of a veterans committee. So maybe then we'll be able to have a more reasonable situation where clearly the two guys that are the most hated, but also the best of that steroid bunch are off the ballot. So maybe then the voters can, who knows, maybe after, if they would get in, you will see a big spike for Manny Ramirez. All of a sudden he'll go from 30 some to 70. I mean, maybe you'll see that. I'm pessimistic. Maybe that'll, if you figure, if it opens up the door for those two, it should open up the doors for the others. But will we get into a sane situation? And it also screws over others because, I mean, if these guys were going to get in, they would have been in years ago. So now this takes away votes for guys like a Scott Rolen or Todd Helton or guys that are borderline but have legit resumes that are not getting enough votes, maybe what they should have got. A guy like Fred McGriff finished 7 home runs shy of 500 as a Gold Glove first baseman in the steroid era without any suspicion at all on great teams throughout his career.
Yeah, he
can't get votes because if you wanted to vote all the steroid guys in years ago, you had to, that's your 10 votes. You don't have any more room. So it hurts actually others, not just the steroid guys.
Do you think maybe we could fix issues like that with giving guys more votes on a ballot?
Yeah, I think
that fixes.
I think that, let's put it this way, that should fix the issue. And if that doesn't fix the issue, then it's clearly just a personal problem. That obviously wouldn't fix the guys that are just voting Jeff Kennan by himself. But if you give them an unlimited number of votes, and I think the only reason why they don't want to do this is you obviously don't want to have a ceremony with 13 people going in. It would be a 18-hour long thing that would spread across 2 days with what they do. That's not feasibly possible for TV or travel or anybody there. They don't want to do that. And if you have the 75% bar, what are you going to do? Say, well, you got 80%, but we can't fit you in on the weekend, so we're not going to give you a plaque, or we're not going to celebrate you at all. That would create that issue. I think you do have to, you don't want to water it down too much, but if you had that situation and guys didn't want to vote for steroid guys, but other guys did wanted to vote for them, obviously that would have, Griffey would have got 100% because they wouldn't have had to worry about, you know, giving away votes. A lot of these guys would have got in. A lot of these guys would get more votes. And then maybe the other steroid guys, maybe some steroid guys would have got in the past. Maybe the other lesser than Bond steroid guys would have got more votes. It would allow more room for somebody to say, I can vote for all of these people or none of them.
Yeah, and we've seen quite a few no votes.
We have seen ballots with no votes, which that's just, I mean,
It's extremely ridiculous. I mean, it's less ridiculous than just the Jeff Kent vote we keep talking about, but it's still ridiculous on just a different level.
Yeah. Like I'm in the Pro Football Writers. At some point, if I keep this up and I have some votes now, I could get a Pro Football Hall of Fame vote. To vote for no one or vote for one person when you know others are more even deserving.
Yeah,
that really is a slap in the face of the whole system. That is insulting to others who are trying to get votes. I mean, that really is a, it's funny. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, people like Schilling are going to wear a Clark Griswold t-shirt when they're talking about it on shows. I mean, because you got to just have levity with all of this or you just would become a lunatic. But right. At the end of the day, it is really insulting and disrespectful to younger members of media like us, to others that didn't get a vote despite working in media for years that were borderline and they didn't get passed and they didn't get their vote. You know, I'm sure I didn't get a vote. But you're voting for no one. Why do you want to vote then? Give it to me. Right. Like,
right. Right. I mean, you could be like Martley Vitard and get a Deadspin on your side here and maybe get some votes. You never know, man. But, you know, one thing I did want to talk about, I kind of want to stray away from the steroid era type guys, the guys we've been talking about the whole time. Are there guys on this ballot that you think are deserving of Hall of Fame recognition, but aren't really being talked about just because of all this craziness?
Well, I think Scott Rolen should be in, number one. Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna get in, though, so I can't say he's not being talked about. He's getting percentages that I think will eventually put him in. You could argue he's one of the more underrated players the last 20 plus years when you look at what he did defensively. People do forget baseball, it's offense and defense. It's not just your stats in Baseball Reference. You know, they do keep defensive numbers, but it's hard to, it's hard to equate those. It really is. You got to be a mathematician to really understand a defensive number situation, really. Yeah. But you also can watch and kind of knows what people are doing. The Gold Gloves matter. They give away those awards. So I think he's very underrated as an overall player. There's offensive numbers, but the defensive number as an overall player, it certainly gives him candidacy. I think guys that are getting screwed in votes, and I mentioned Fred McGriff, who historically I think has maybe been the most screwed over ever. When you look at his overall numbers, the guy's barely cracking 50%. That's just insane. And maybe that's part of not having enough votes. That's an historic thing, though. But as of now, Todd Helton, I don't get how
Larry Todd was my guy.
Well, Larry Walker gets in. He eventually gets in with Jeter during the whole COVID year. Mm-hmm. And not to say he wasn't deserving. You look at that batting average over his whole career. That, I mean, to be hitting .330 in these myriad of seasons and to have that career batting average, I mean, going to Bonds again, despite everything he accomplished as a great player, even the steroid years, his career batting average is below .300. It's a .298. Mm-hmm. And that's including a .370 year. So to finish your career with a batting average of like .320 or .330 is stupidly ridiculous. But and there's power there. So he got in and he deserved to be in. But if you're going to put him in and say we don't care about Colorado and the balls there and the juice balls and the altitude, and that's fine for his numbers, then I'm not sure what you're holding against Todd Helton with a very similar spread. And he's getting like 40-some% and barely – he's certainly not getting in this year. So
no.
I don't know how that makes sense. So, So I think he's maybe an underrated player that is not being looked at enough. But I do think Scott Rolen is going to get in this year. I think he might get a bump of the votes that we don't know and get
close. Okay.
Especially because if I had to predict right now on who's going to get in, based on what I'm seeing, I think David Ortiz is going to get in, even though it's hypocritical. I don't see how you drop that much of a percentage situation when you're that high currently. Yeah. I think he's going to get in, and then I think Scott Rolen's going to get in with him, and I think that'll be it.
Two-man Hall of Fame
ceremony. Which is what they like anyway. I don't think they want a 4 or 5-man Hall of Fame. No. Then if you're putting Bonds or Clemens in, and then Schilling's dropping further down, but he was close last year, that would be a 5-man group. You have the guys from the COVID year. I mean, that as much as I was exaggerating, that is a 10-hour ceremony.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long night. So on that hill, it's 100 degrees.
There's going to be a lot of coffee needed for these writers to stay awake, for sure. Right.
Yeah.
Now, you know, one of the last things I wanted to touch on was not a lot of people are talking about Sammy Sosa in this I guess, little circle. And I think it has some merit to it. I don't know. I personally don't think Sammy Sosa is deserving of Hall of Fame for me.
Yeah, he's getting around 20-some%. I mean, it's close to induction.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you what's his percentage at the moment. But
I could look that up here.
I just really don't feel like Sammy Sosa is one of those guys that deserves to be in the Hall just because of all of the things that circled around him. And in my opinion, I just don't think he had any of those clutch moments that some of these guys like Bonds, like Clemens have had in the past. You know, when he would hit a home run, it seemed like they were either down 8-2 or up 8-2, you know, so it kind of like just stack on the numbers. I don't know. Where are you with that, actually?
See, Sammy Sosa to me definitely had a career that was inflated by steroid use, if not even a corked bat, because maybe that bat was corked before we eventually found out that bat was
probably corked.
Right. So it more so than Bonds for sure, but I can't be hypocritical to my earlier opinion. I do prefer it to be all or nothing. You look at the resumes, it's hard to ignore 360 home run seasons. Again, Bonds, McGuire, Griffey didn't have one, even though he had 250. That's just hard to wrap your mind around. That's Babe Ruth stuff in the steroid era. So your comment of, well, how come nobody else did this with those numbers during the same era if they're all taking steroids? Well, Bonds and these guys are taking steroids. So is Sosa, and Sosa's hitting, you know, despite all the strikeouts, which are canceling out at bats, he's hitting 63 times. And then you look at another 50 home run season. You got to give it to him there. He also won the MVP in the 98 season. That summer, that summer of baseball's renaissance and retooling. Yeah. McGuire didn't get the MVP. Sosa did, because they got in the playoffs, whereas the Cardinals were a bad team all year round. And the one moment I could point to when you were talking, if I had to point to a Sosa moment, probably the home run that he hit in the 2003 postseason. He did have a bit, that wasn't his best year. He had better years in the 90s and prior to that, but he had a big moment in that postseason run where they lose out and you have the Bartman play. He was still an integral player there. I believe he had 40 some home runs that year still. So maybe that's his moment. Maybe winning the MVP in the year that McGuire broke the record is a big deal. If you win the MVP in a year that somebody breaks that record, a single season record, that's a big deal. Maybe that's it for him. And if you're going to talk about moments, I mean, let's face it, there's guys in this Hall of Fame now that I can't really think of a moment despite stacking the numbers. That's Is there a Jim Thome moment? I mean, you look at the 600 home runs, great slugger on great teams, despite not winning a ring, it wasn't his fault. But I don't know if there's no game winning homer. I mean, Griffey had the moment in the 90s, but then it was 11 years of no moments.
Yeah.
So there are guys that are similar. If we weren't talking about steroids, he would be into. That's also, I guess, my answer. If there was no cloud of people hating steroids, they would have voted him in years ago. Yeah. And I think if you're going to compare McGuire and Sosa, I would say Sosa had was better than McGuire when they both were on steroids, I guess.
I can agree with that.
Maybe McGuire was hurt more than that because he didn't play as long as some of the others. I mean, funny enough, and obviously this guy isn't going to get in. If you look at McGuire, Sosa, and Jose Canseco overall in their career, maybe even with McGuire, you can make an argument Jose is a better player than those three. He had a 40-40 season. I would say Jose's better. Yeah, he was better than McGuire at that time as the Bash Brother, and then he was whistleblowing and it didn't go anywhere. And at the end of his career, even before he whistleblew, just he had 5 or 6 years at the end where he did nothing. So that's part of it. But there was a time where he was better than McGuire. But I would rather it be all or nothing. And honestly, I think the more egregious than Sosa is Manny Ramirez. I think Manny Ramirez.
Oh, Manny for sure. Yeah.
I don't know how Manny's not getting. And I know, again, he tested positive. He had the suspension. Some of these guys, you know, it's hard to feel bad, I guess. I guess last thing I'll say, as much as I would prefer some to be in and could understand others and the votes wouldn't go the way I would have voted for even separate steroid guys, like I would put Schilling in, to be honest with you. If you, I really don't think you can tell this. You're going to the story again. You know, I don't agree with everything he says, whether it be politically or personally. I could argue based on some comments that maybe he's a racist, which obviously I don't support. But in terms of moments, in terms of baseball history, the Bloody Sock moment is one of the most iconic moments of the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
People give Randy Johnson all the credit for the 0-1 Diamondbacks ring. He was co-World Series MVP. He didn't have it on his own. He was co-MVP with Curt Schilling, who was the starter. Randy came in the bullpen in those big moments in that series. And yeah, Curt never won a Cy Young, but he played in an era with all these great Hall of Famers. I think you agree with me that wins are kind of overrated a little bit for a pitcher, even though that's low for Schilling.
There's a lot of outlying factors with
wins, I would put Schilling in, and also, and if you're going to put, you put Mike Mussina in, but not Curt Schilling. They're the same guy. They both are like the same, or they never were the best pitcher. They were 3-4 for their whole career. They had some great moments. They had some great numbers. The ERA is around the same. They didn't win 300 games. Mussina never won a ring. Curt Schilling has multiple. I don't see how that makes any freaking sense of putting one in and the other guy can't even get 60% on the ballot. He doesn't even have steroid clout. It's just you don't like him personally. So all of that, all of that does suck. But it's hard to feel bad, though. I'm not even sure if I would feel bad for Bonds or any of these guys if they don't get in. Rafael Palmeiro, nobody forced him to go to Congress in a federal case and wave his finger and look like a clown. That's his own fault. He has a Hall of Fame resume, but I didn't force him to do that. Nobody told Sammy Sosa, when you're already taking steroids in the first place and you already got this Hall of Fame resume, to then cork your bat. I mean, that's really unnecessary. To then cork your bat. That's his own fault. I mean, again, that's his own fault. Nobody told Mark McGuire. Unless it's the bat's fault. Nobody told Mark McGuire to lie all these years, despite in video standing in front of steroids in your locker. Like, we can see the video. I don't know what you're lying about. I'm looking right at it right there. If you didn't take those steroids, then who did in here? Because somebody has them. They're right
in. It's my trainer.
Yeah, somebody. So, and even it's not even it's not even our fault that Barry Bonds, that he's been lying all these years. A-Rod, and maybe this is why A-Rod's getting a better percentage total than Bonds. At the end of the day, eventually he did come out and say, okay, you got me. I was lying all these years. And he actually kind of articulated this. He was lying all these years. I understand I had to face some punishment. I do believe that I'm a Hall of Famer. I think it helped me here. It didn't help me here. Like, he really went like nuts to think like what his career would have been and all of this different. If Bonds would have done that, maybe that would have actually helped his case, because people do like when you admit you're wrong. I think a lot of these voters, maybe, and I even kind of feel this a little bit, when you have conversations about Bonds and they say, well, yeah, he never tested positive, it's like, we're not an idiot. You're insulting our intelligence a little bit. Right. Yeah. Like, so Bonds to go up there and say, because he would sometimes say after games, even after 07 when he broke Aaron's record, well, if your closet's clean, you can't come and try to clean mine, when they would ask him if his record's tainted at all. What the hell does that mean? Like, I know no one's perfect, but I didn't set the all-time home run record. So we're not talking to me. I'm not up there. No one's asking me any questions here. Yeah. That doesn't, you're not saying you didn't do anything. Like, if he needs to pick a side. It almost needs to be like the O.J. Simpson thing, where he needs to say, I never took steroids, you're wrong, or I did, this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. But the whole thing of like dancing around it, I refuse to answer it. I'm sure he won't talk about it all weekend if it's asked, because it will be asked if he gets elected. All of that, or no, the record's not tainted, but he won't say that he never took steroids. They then ask him point blank, well, if the record's not tainted, did you not take steroids? He says, well, I don't want to talk now. I'm no comment. Why would it be no comment if he never did anything? So it's almost, he's either trolling us just to be a jerk, which is possible, or he's lying. So it's hard to feel bad, because I feel like some of these guys have dug their graves a little bit in how they're handling these situations here. When Curt Schilling goes out there and says, I don't want to be in the Hall of Fame. Well, obviously that's not going to help you get votes, bro. That's not going to help you out. Like, you were so close. You just had to shut up for 1 year. I think he was going to get in, and he just couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. So it's hard to feel too bad.
Well, I mean, maybe the writers invested in his gaming company and it fell through and they just got pissed at him. We're not sure. We're not sure when it comes to that.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy, man. And you said your birthday is what, Wednesday?
My birthday is the 26th. Yes. Yeah. So it is the okay. day after the dust day will after. Settle and then it'll be my birthday. Right.
Okay. Well, there it's going to be a crazy pre-birthday party going on for you, I'm sure.
Right.
A lot of people will be glued to their phones and everyone's going to see if this is it, if this is it. And I don't know. I guess the last comment I want to make is, you know, the commissioner at the time during the home run race, the steroid era.
There it is. Yeah.
He knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Baseball needed ratings.
Right.
Hey, guys, I know you're on steroids. That's cool. But can you hit some bombs for me?
Right.
So that way we could get a whole race going on here. And that's cool and all. But, like, when you shun them afterwards, it's kind of like a soldier coming home and no one's supporting them in a way, in my opinion.
Yeah. And he's in the Hall of Fame. Bud Selig's in.
That's not a little bit biased, is it?
Bud Selig, I mean, yeah, Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of underlying factors, as I mentioned in the beginning, man. So it is what it is at the end of the day. Hall of Fame's the Hall of Fame, but it's just going to be forever covered in that cloud unless the guys get in or unless they can figure something out. I don't know.
Even if they don't, I think it also, there's some, you know, there's personal obligation. If whether they get in or they don't, people should be able to have it on their own to take their kid to Cooperstown. And I think it should be on the plaque, but even if it's not on the plaque, there should be some culpability to if you're going to the Hall of Fame and your kid looking at this and says, well, I know he was really good, clearly on these numbers. I never watched him play. You know, how do you possibly go from hitting 40 home runs every year to all of a sudden hitting 30 more in 365 days? That doesn't seem to make sense, Daddy. And then, you know, you might want to say, well, unfortunately, son, he may have possibly taken some steroids that might have helped some balls go over the fence where that maybe would have been a fly ball. You know, you might want to go into that. Maybe you don't. But, I mean, you got to leave it, I guess, to the person a little bit. We all got Google. Even, I mean, we didn't grow up watching Willie Mays, but we can Google and look into what he did. So you still should be able to figure things out on your own. Yeah. But, yeah, it's hard to just ignore a whole era of baseball, which you basically are ignoring. But this will be something. I mean, and Bonds is already in the Giants Hall of Fame, so you have these guys represented in different Hall of Fames. Some of these guys, I'm not even sure what hat they'd wear. Like, I mean, you get in a whole, you get in different. I mean, we'll do the Greg Maddux where he has no cap on, which is just ludicrous. Like, there's no hat there. There's no logo. I mean, so those things. So the Baseball Hall of Fame just gets in these weirdness of different politics, and they let players pick things and taking money to, like, Nolan Ryan wearing the Rangers hat. He only pitched there for 5 years. And he wasn't even really good at the end because he punched Robin Ventura and got one of his no hitters. So that's how he's a Ranger. But he also pitched for 20 years earlier with the Astros, Angels, and won a World Series with the Mets. No one cares about any of that. So somehow he got a T on his hat. Like, they can't even get that part of it right on who's the logo, for crying out loud. So we will see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm just curious of what the atmosphere would be like. Would it be like when Bonds came to Pittsburgh again, giving Kutch his Silver Slugger Award type deal? Or will it be like throwing tomatoes like the old school play days where people are just like throwing tomatoes at the stage?
I wonder how they even do it, you know, order-wise, because you have to do the ceremony still for Jeter and Walker. Obviously, they love Jeter, who got in right away first ballot. You know, you obviously could argue Bonds is a better all-time overall player, but I'd imagine they would probably still say that Jeter's the headline guy, and they would probably still have the post to be a little bit bigger. That, I'm sure, will annoy Bonds. And then is he going to get there and be upset about that? Or do you have Clemens and Bonds go back-to-back, or do you want to separate that? Because that could be an hour and a half of just complaining. Like, how do you organize this? I feel like would be a whole nother meeting of what to do, where the poster goes. What do you say? Do you add it on the plaque? Because then if you do, which I think you should, you're going to have, imagine this position. There's going to be a person that if you do that is going to have to read a plaque with Bonds standing next to him for like a half hour. And because it seems like it goes on for days and it's not a small paragraph there. That's going to be awkward because Bonds isn't going to be down with that. He's probably then going to go on stage and criticize you and the whole plaque and say, I don't even want this on the plaque. They might go up there. You don't know. You might pull a shit. They might go up there and say, you know what? I just wanted this to prove a point, but now I don't even want in. Don't even put me in. Like, they're going to reject the invitation on the stage. It's live. It's not a recorded thing. So maybe they're doing it as a recorded thing. The Baseball Hall of Fame is treated a little differently than the others. I was just recently covering all those Steelers that got in in Canton, and that was an experience, but this is even more. I've been there for this too. There's so much to think about for this. Is somebody going to want to do it elsewhere? Is Bonds going to do it in San Fran instead of going to Cooperstown? How will he be received by all those other Hall of Famers? Because that is certainly a polarizing thing. And then if you open up the door for steroid players and you have professional teams in Vegas and people making money off of gambling as their entire career, how do you put Bonds in and not put Pete Rose in? If you're going to say we got to put Bonds in because of the museum, he's the all-time home run record holder. Pete Rose is the all-time hits king. You look at that resume, all the all-star appearances. He was a great player at multiple positions. The resume is there. There's no way to ignore Pete Rose as a Hall of Famer. He's banned. He's not getting in. He couldn't even get in with the Veterans Committee. And we certainly learned things about his personal life and that are even worse than gambling that also are going to keep him out, that does hurt him on a character's clause. But if you ignore it for one, how do you hold it against the other? And I don't know, maybe he was playing harder because he's betting on games, whereas Barry Bonds might have had his stats increased. Maybe that wasn't a total fair resume. So I don't know how that is handled. And then if you put Pete Rose in, you got to unban Shoeless Joe Jackson and put him in because he hit freaking 375 in a World Series. People saying he threw. Imagine if he tried. What would he be doing?
Hitting 600.
they're saying that he was not. The people are still arguing this. He got banned for it. That he was throwing a World Series. Look up the numbers. He hit 375 the 1919 World Series that he apparently threw. And that's the middle of his career. But the numbers were there. It's a whole can of worms that I do think because of all of that, they're going to prefer the Clemens and Bonds fall just shy and are dealt with the Veterans Committee, which will then be a different mess. But I don't think the Hall of Fame itself wants them in. I don't think they do. It's just too much. If they don't get in, you don't have to have any of these meetings about where anyone goes or what the dinner is like or the poster or what do we do now with the band players. They'll just keep on keeping on, as baseball loves to do.
If Barry gets in, I think a great PR move would be a picture of him in a Pirates uniform, because he kind of looks like what he did as a Pirate now.
Right. Yeah.
What he did. See, I wasn't big. This is how I've been the whole time, baby.
And then do the Pirates do anything? I mean, if he would get in, they welcome him back again to have a whole nother ceremony. And then how is that received? Because obviously it's a polarizing debate with him in general, but there are a lot of Pittsburgh fans that don't like him separate from steroids. And that's very possible he is booed during that ceremony, which I'm sure Barry Bonds would then voice his displeasure to the Pirates after that, as he did last time, which would then get in a whole nother mess where you don't see him for 20 years. So I feel like there's no possible way to make everyone happy and to avoid something being crazy.
Someone's going to get pissed.
Someone's going to get
mad. Who's going to get pissed is the question.
And how mad will they be? So it's just a whole daddy long legs of things and questions and all that. And more this year than others, which is why this, I wanted to do this show this year, because last year you could always say, well, there's one more year. I'll kick the can down. We'll worry about it then.
Yeah. We've reached a dead end with a can now.
This is a dead end now. There's no more kicking. So we will see what happens. Do you think they get in though?
If you're asking my head, no. If you're asking my heart, yes. So I got to go with what my head's saying, and I think no. I think baseball would much rather deal with the what-if scenario than, oh, shit, it happened.
Yeah.
What do we do now? Because, like you said, it creates a whole other can of worms. Well, Pete Rose needs to get in. Well, Shoeless Jackson needs to get in. Well, this guy needs to get in. And it just keeps on going and going and going and going and going. It's the right thing to do to let them in, but it's not going to happen. I just don't see it. I, like you said, when the votes that come out that haven't been revealed, they're just going to take a huge bump down. Yeah.
People get too excited now. That's why I don't even want to talk. I haven't really even been tweeting about it until the announcement. They're losing percentages. You're going to lose percentages from when you get that reveal.
You're going to get old codgers who are set in their ways, and they're going to say, well, screw you. I'm going to screw you over again. And here's your bump down. Like, that's just how it rolls.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it's baseball.
And this is the sport that I choose to cover. Yeah. I mean, that we could, instead of doing this show, we could just basically simply logged on and say it is what it is. Cause that's really what it is. It is what it is. We can't change anything. Even the people that have a vote have really no say, because there's so many others that have it, and it's just so chaotic and crazy. So it just really is what it is. But I don't feel bad. I don't think they're going to get in. I think it should be all or nothing. I don't think it's ever going to be perfect. Even if you get them in, I don't think you're going to get the other guys in. So it's never going to be a perfect harmony of a situation. But it really, it really just is what it is. And it'll be very, very interesting what happens if they get in, what that's even like. If they do is Harold Reynolds going to call Bonds? Is he going to answer the phone? I mean, that they do a whole thing where they're calling people. He might even answer and be like, oh yeah, and then hang up the phone like on live TV. Like, I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen here, but it really,
The last thing I would like to say, though, as you know, as we're in the media, we kind of love chaos. And if they do get in, it's going to be a lot of chaos. Yeah. And I think guys like us who don't particularly have a vote, but can see the chaos unravel.
Yeah, it's a car crash. Yeah.
Yeah.
you can't turn away.
We're going to watch it. And we're going to laugh and have our popcorn ready, like Terrell Owens said. You mentioned, so a little T.O. shout out.
Yeah, a little T.O. shout out. Yeah, oh, I'm sure. Because if they get in, you're going to have Bob Costas is going to go on TV and say they shouldn't be in. I'm embarrassed by this. And then he's going to go on the stage. And probably him and Bonds are going to just be verbally talking at each other. I mean, it's going to be a whole nother can.
Yeah.
I feel like that has not been there before. And yeah, I'm gonna need a lot of popcorn. It's gonna be get your popcorn ready, and then I'm gonna need some refills. I need some people trying to. And I will say, anyone who's trying to book a hotel that didn't have that booked, that wants to be part of that, probably you're out of luck, because it is insane. We actually had to stay in Scranton. We had to stay in Scranton and then drive a couple hours. And that hotel was booked about a year in advance, because I pretty much knew Griffey was getting in no matter what. It's that hard to get hotels there. It is a gauntlet physically. Like, if you're not in shape, I don't know how you could even go. It is unlike the others. It is walking miles to go to a hill in the middle of nowhere. There's no other reason to go to Cooperstown unless you're doing this. There's definitely no reason. You're not passing through anything. And it's a journey generally. If you don't get a hotel in that area, you're looking at hours away to stay anywhere. So it is something else. It is an experience. It's like the world stopped in 1950 there. You should get there at some point. It is a really cool once in a lifetime type experience. I maybe we'll try to go back again someday. It's unparalleled. The other Hall of Fames, they have the museum. They're in areas that some are weird, some make sense, but the entire area is for that. Like, if you live there, you're working at the Hall of Fame, at a pharmacy, at a grocery store, or you're helping people park their car to go. Like, that's the entire economy. That little area, it's a town. It is just for it. It is really, and apparently,
unlike anything.
It's unlike anything else. And there is a reason why it's there. Apparently, it was trying to help the economy of the area way back. But it is like nothing else. It really is a baseball heavenly experience. So that's why I do bring up all of these other things, that it is not just getting you in. Okay, there's a plaque, we're done with this. There would be so much else going on unless they change from what they normally have been doing. they try to make it a whole baseball family. And like every other family, not everyone's going to get along in that family. And this would really be some black sheep that would be coming to the family dinner here. So, I don't know, but it is what it is.
All right, man. Well, did you want me to wrap it up, or did you want to wrap it up? How'd you want to?
You can. I don't care.
Okay. Well, Mike, I mean, we had a pretty damn long conversation about what seems to be just a little group of people, not an entire team, just two or three people, it seems like. And I'm sure we could continue for hours upon hours. I know you're quite the Hall of Fame nerd, as you like to put it. So
I can admit that. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you got to wear that with a badge of honor. That's a badge of honor there, man. You can't
so I wore my Griffey Hall of Fame
shirt. I saw that. I didn't want to say anything.
I got this when I was there. I honestly, and I wore this in other recent videos, so I didn't wear it. I thought about wearing the Seinfeld t-shirt that I have as well, just to kind of like Kurt Schilling would do, just to symbolize this whole conversation and this whole broadcast. The whole thing is like a sitcom. It's a thing about nothing, basically. But I wore this. Yeah, I was there, so I had to wear this
one. I can dig it, man. But, you know, did you have any final thoughts before we wrap this show up? Because I think we've had a pretty damn good show here, man.
Yeah. And honestly, I think, we tried to keep it as short as we could, but it's so much to get into. I think, you know, we had to give it a good hour here, but
it's damn near impossible to keep
it short. I think, again, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do. I think a lot of people have had their opinions change over the years. Mine have changed over the years. I think you can't ignore what happened. I think no one can be naive, and anyone being naive, I think, is lying to themselves that steroids were part of the game. If it wasn't a help to you, people wouldn't have done it, even at the very least, to stay healthy in your career. Because the rumor for Bonds is right after that injury plagued 98 year, then it started to start. There's a lot of books that detail a lot of things that have gone on. I've read them, the Juice book, Game of Shadows, etc. You know, as much as people like to throw guys away, I think the one person that maybe is a winner in all of this, and certainly he ruined his legacy in a way, might be actually Jose Canseco, because it's the same thing. If I want to learn about who committed a murder in Los Angeles in the 1970s, I would look into what Charles Manson has to say. He's a horrible person, but he probably knows that information. When Jose Canseco came out with that book, everyone tried to say he's just bitter, ignore him, get rid of him, doesn't matter. Yeah. On both sides of the coin, no, but he has been right on everything. You know, there's some vindication, which was the title of his second book. He has been vindicated in a way. If you're going to whistleblow, you got to be correct, and he has been. So no one's ever going to agree on this. I would like it to be all or nothing. It's seemingly never going to be that. It is just what it is. But I think regardless of who's in these Hall of Fames, though, I know what happened. You know what happened in these games, in these sports. People can look all this up. So you can make your own conclusions. And again, it's not like they're doing an all-time rank to make someone feel better. Putting someone in the hall, there is no, you know, there is no rank anywhere. Harold Baines is in the same room with Willie Mays, as crazy as that sounds. They don't have anything in stone that says this player is the best ever at this position, this player is the best ever at this, best ever at this. So there's nobody that has the whole thing of, oh, well, this would legitimize this ranking here or there. They don't do that. It's just putting you in or not putting you in. So it is a museum. It is hard to ignore things, but it is what it is. And I don't think it's one of those things that's never going to truly be fixed, though. And I don't think the writers or the Hall of Fame itself, when they knew what was going on in the steroid era, and they allow things to get to a point where you are having a 98 season, you are having a man break a single season record, and then a few years later break the all-time homer record when he wasn't supposed to get to those numbers and wasn't on pace to do that. You are seeing ungodly things occur. You're seeing a guy like Sosa, who couldn't make the major leagues, hitting 60 home runs 3 years that others couldn't even do. And you're scratching your head, and baseball's voting these guys for MVPs and giving them their DAP and doing these different things and then turning on them. That's hypocritical. But I think they underestimated how much of a problem this would be. And I think some still do underestimate. I don't think people realize that this steroid cloud has likely, in all seriousness, cost guys that were not steroid players the Hall of Fame that otherwise would have got in.
There's no question.
This has been an entire thing that has affected many beyond even people that took steroids. And I don't, you know, so the whole goal of trying to punish Barry Bonds, at the end of the day, you did, but you also punished Fred McGriff and others who were borderline candidates, maybe needed those votes. My last point, though, I will say, as much as he will say, oh, I didn't want to be in, or it doesn't matter to me, because this has been said by some.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds once in the Hall of Fame. I will never believe any of these comments that, oh, I don't really care, or if they're going to be like this, it doesn't legitimize all of, I mean, they certainly that exists, but these guys do want in. Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds want in the Hall of Fame. So if they would finish out a percentage point out and then tweet, they didn't want in anyway, they are lying. They definitely would prefer to be in. I will not be believing it.
No, everyone wants to get in, man. Everyone.
It's, yeah, even like, though
even Kurt Schilling, right. Even Kurt Schilling, he
I think wants he secretly in. Wants in. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you say you don't want to get in, it's kind of like you're hoping people believe what we believe and just vote them in anyways, kind of like reverse psychology. But it's an insane scenario. It's an insane time of the year, especially last year for a couple guys. But Mike, this has been an incredible show, I think. And
it's been fun. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So how I usually run things at the end is I like to give out social so that way people can follow us on Twitter.
Sure.
So I'll start off with you, man. Where can people find you?
So at MikeAusty11, at Mike ASTI11 on Twitter. You can find me and everything else I do. Just go there, obviously. And I'm also, you know, we're gonna have this video here in Pittsburgh Sports Live as well in Baseball Now, so you can find me in all the other Now Network sites, and then certainly on this channel as well. And I'm there, and I'll be talking about this and many other things as well. Maybe ask random questions that have nothing to do with this. Maybe I'll bring some of that levity into this, because this is just going to be it's going to be a stressful few days, and this debate may rage on longer than the others, because the can has been kicked to a point that it has now reached a brick wall. So the can has nowhere else to go.
No. But on my end for social medias, I would appreciate a follow on Twitter. That's at Murphanko, MURPHANKO. I do a lot of tweeting. That's where I spend most of my time. If you ask my fiance, she says I'm on there too much.
I get that too.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is, just like this conversation.
Right.
I would also appreciate a follow on Instagram. Getting a pretty big following there, get a lot of connections with minor league players off of that. So yeah. It would be at Murphanko_experience. Murphanko spelled the same way as on Twitter. Okay. And yeah, guys, that's all we have for today. I really do hope that you like, rate, and subscribe to Pittsburgh Baseball Now. Or the Murphanko experience, whatever you want to call it.
That's kind of what it is, actually. Yeah,
yeah, that is what it is. Yeah. But guys, we love you very, very much. And most importantly, let's go Bucks.